listen now for Call to Worship, a half-hour program dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by the Zion Chapel in Holland.
My shameful failure and loss, Jesus, I come. Jesus, I come. Into the glorious gain of thy cross, Jesus, I come to thee. Out of our sorrows, into thy balm. Out of life's storms, and into thy calm. Out of distress, to jubilant psalm, Jesus, I come to thee.
Freedom, gladness, and light. Jesus.
Reading from Colossians chapter 3, God's holy word, given through the Apostle Paul, given to the Colossians at that time, but also given to us. This is the scriptures that will never, never leave us. Christ said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away. Christ spoke many words while he was here on earth, and here he's speaking through Paul, whom he calls his witness. Listen as we read Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any. For even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Let's give thanks for these words. Let's pray for understanding of them. That the Lord Jesus from his throne on high will send the Spirit to open our hearts to receive these words as we need them. For those that are still closed and for those that need to be revived. Our Father, we come to thee through Christ Jesus, thy Son. Make us to know that he is thy Son. And make us also to know that he who thought it not robbery to be equal with thee, humbled himself and took on him the form of a man, and then went to the death of the cross in our stead, becoming a curse for us. Father, we acknowledge that we have so sinned that we deserve to be cursed. And we give thanks, Lord Jesus, for bearing that curse in our place. We pray that thou would give us such an understanding of our sin that we will know that full need of thy being on the cross for us, thy shedding thy blood in our stead. We pray, Father, that even now thy Spirit might be given because of Christ to teach in the church to revive it, to teach in the world to awaken it and bring many to salvation. We pray that even at this time there might be that host that no man can number, being gathered out of all nations, all tongues, and all tribes that we can read of by the pen of John in the book of Revelation, those that would come out of great tribulation. And Father, we give thanks for the freedom that we have, and we pray for those who are suffering much now in persecution and different kinds of tribulation, the many driven from their homes, the many in war-torn lands, the many being persecuted in different ways. Father, we pray for thy blessing on them, even as promised. Blessed are they that are persecuted for righteousness' sake, that they might have the peace, thy peace, in their hearts. We pray, Father, that we might use the freedom that we have in a right way to redeem the time, knowing that the days are evil, and knowing that they could become much more in the way of evil. As Paul could describe things of the latter days, that men would wax worse and worse. We fear it is happening. And Father, how violence is filling the earth, even as it did in the time of Noah. We also see the same sins as in the time of Lot. And Lord Jesus, you taught us that as in the days of Lot and as in the days of Noah, so will it be in thy coming again. Help us to rightly prepare for it, and especially to have a word that honors thee, and then a word that saves sinners and revives the church, that we might have all of this for thy glory, that we might have all of it for the mighty blessing that the church so much needs, and not only the church, but our homes, needing them very sadly, very much, broken, troubled, the children in those troubled homes. We pray for them, for thy teaching to them. As we ask, Father, for thy blessing on those in sickness, those in injury, those in sorrow, those in lonesomeness, those in helplessness in other ways, hungry, homeless, all the suffering that is taking place. We pray, Father, for thy blessing also in the schools, in the workplace, in government, that the fear of thee might begin in their hearts, that they might then have the beginning of wisdom rather than the foolishness that is so prevalent today in many nations, including our own. And we pray, Father, that the church might again be made a salt and a light in every nation through Christ. Amen. As we look at these words again, we can look at them every day. They are a command for us to live in them, to do as the first verse that we read states, put on therefore as the elect of God. I think of how many are offended at that word, as well as the word that is similar, predestination, or another word that is used, God choosing. It should only generate thankfulness. It also generate in our hearts humbleness. We would not ever seek the Lord if he didn't work in our hearts. John writes, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and gave his son to be the propitiation for our sins. And even of Christ, Isaiah already wrote long before he came, that when we saw him, there was nobody that we should desire him, that we hid as it were our faces from him. All that is scripture, all that is God's word concerning you and me and everyone else. God looked down from heaven to see if there were any that didn't understand, if there were any that sought the Lord, and there were none. That includes you. You didn't do that. You may think you did, and if you did, if you do think that, you may well be in the place like Paul says, warning of another Jesus. There are many, many today who say we believe in Jesus Christ, but do not believe in him as the Son of God. And he is. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And there are many that believe that way, and there are many that think that that is all right, that they believe too. It's believing a lie. And until we believe the truth that will set us free from the lies, from Satan's captivity, from our choosing to be with him, as Christ said, recorded in John chapter 8, the works of your father the devil you will do. The learned Jews, they knew about Abraham and his faith. They thought they were like him, but far from it. Many claim to be in the following of Abraham. Not only Judaism, Christianity, other religions, some of them as well. But Abraham saw the day of Christ and was glad. Saw who he was, saw what he would do, knew and believed that God will, through Christ, justify the ungodly. When we know that, then we're ready to do this. And we have looked at it in a number of weeks already. But I think of the words of Moses as he took his farewell with Israel. Over and over he would say, forget not, forget not. It's easy to forget. It's hard to learn in the first place. And then if we do learn, we forget. And as we grow older, like myself, we forget much more. Sometimes forget a name, pronounce one name instead of another, one book of the Bible instead of another. When we intend to state a certain book, we state another one. We have forgotten what was the right one. And only when God continues to work in us can we work out our salvation. And even then, with fear and trembling, lest we have not heard him rightly, lest we do not believe the whole scripture, we can rest it to our own destruction. We're able to do that if God allows us to go on our own way. But here we have God's wonderful way. Right from the beginning of this epistle, as well as many other epistles as well, describing God's blessing in Christ through His blood, through His suffering, and then by His Spirit, all of that here then to be worked out, to seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Right now, He's there. God said, "Sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool." How thankful I am that He made me an enemy, His footstool. And it's my prayer that He will make me that much more, and at all times, and not just in part, that we might be revived in it, in the church, and then that there might be many awakened to this knowledge that these people here at Colossae had so wonderfully, describing what God did with them, taking them out of darkness, and bringing them into the kingdom of Christ, His dear Son. God's Son. Not just sons like you and I, adopted, but His beloved, eternal Son of God. And now, through Christ, we can do this. Forbearing one another, verse 13. Forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Here He simply tells us to do it. When He gave the Lord's Prayer, as recorded in the Gospels, He said, "If we don't forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you." That's true of all of us. And I would like to mention, though we're not going to take up the subject today, but ahead here in this third chapter, we will soon come to it at a later date. Verse 18, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord." God's way. The only way you fit into His way and fit rightly into your home. Fit in the Lord. And then the next verse, 19, "Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them." And then He has a word as well for children, and again later for parents. Lord willing, we will come to that. We have dealt with it in the past, and it's a very needed blessing to do it. It's a blessing. And especially when I think of going back to this 13th verse, forbearing one another. If husbands and wives would forbear one another, they wouldn't have to go to the divorce court. Impatient, proud, bitter, self-righteous. Yes, very self-righteous. I see it sometimes on every side. Husband, wife, and even parents of the husbands and wives. All in pride. Oh, how easy it is to get enough religion to make us proud. Very easy. All we need is some parts of it. Make us think we are right. Last week we mentioned how many churches like to have the better parts of the church of the past, to be identified with them and say, well, they were like we are. Our history goes back to the time of the apostles. And such were very likely would bear our name. Their name. At most. Only a small part of the whole church, at best. Some of them not even that, not even part of the true church, but lots of pride. But the true church, divided into hundreds of denominations, and then one will say, "Well, all those back there were like us. Well, why aren't the rest like you now? Why isn't the whole world like you, like your particular denomination? Haven't you made it known? Haven't you called others to repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ? Haven't you preached to every creature the gospel? Haven't you done what Christ said, that remission that repentance and remission of sins should be preached among all nations in His name, beginning at Jerusalem, beginning at home, and then all the rest with it. But we sit in our smugness, our smallness, yes, smallness, in comparison with the whole world. Christ is the head of the church in one part as well as the other. And if Christ isn't the head of your church, you have no part of Him. Paul says, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His. And the Spirit of Christ will humble us, will bring us down to what we truly are, sinners. The Spirit of Christ brought Paul down so he could say, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, not to build one particular kind of church, but to save sinners. And then he says, of whom I am chief. Oh, may that tribe increase. Sometimes we say of certain things and certain people, certain groups, too many Indians and or too many chiefs and not enough Indians. To be the chief of sinners is a good place to be. Paul was in a right place in it. May we be like him. How did he get there? He said, be ye followers of me as I am of Christ. Another church he wrote, let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. And here it takes humbleness to put on as the elect of God. The 12th verse, holy, beloved, that's what he calls us. And then to have bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any. Even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Yes, that may take humbleness to forgive. Christ forgave from the cross. Stephen forgave as they stoned him. We don't have to always wait till they repent or till they come to our terms. We can ask God to forgive them and teach them. For those that Christ prayed for, there were priests there. Later, we read in Acts chapter 6, long after his ascension, that many of the priests became part of the faith also. The faith in Christ. God taught them, forgave them. And as Christ forgave you, the perfect one forgives the chief of sinners. Then we ought to be able to forgive someone else that is like us. Much the same. Yes, in some areas, maybe a little worse. In other areas, better. Everyone. Other people do things better than we do, as well as worse. And we think we know when they do worse, but do we know when they do better? Does it humble us? Yes, above all these things, put on love. 2 weeks ago, we read from 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and love thinketh no evil. Love beareth all things. Love hopeth all things. Love can do it. And where does love come from? God is love. We don't have it naturally. We're sinners that will not love as we should. Christ said, if you love those that love you, what profit have you? Sinners do that. Sinners love each other when they can rob a bank. Sinners love each other when they side with one another in their evil ways. But that's not true love. That's self-love. Lovers of self. They only love what other people do, but do not truly love them for their good. That's what love is. Love wants God to be honored. Love wants sinners, saints, families to be blessed, to have the best. And that's what we want, and that's what we should have. And certainly it has not been in the church. I think of one book, Fox's Book of Martyrs. Sadly, some of them were persecuted from the outside, but many within the church. Many today from other religions than their own. Terrible. Not just atheists, but those who claim to believe in God, the God of Abraham. And they hate and persecute others. They want them to be like themselves. But if we don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as the Son of God, then we can't want them to be like Him. And God not only elects, but He predestined us to be conformed to the image of His Son. And that's the only right way in all of the world. For all people, every creature, every nation, every tongue. And God in the end will call out of every nation those who have believed on Christ. Those who have, as we can read in the book of Revelation, washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb. Where was that blood shed? Most of it on the cross. Some of it before when He was beaten, but on the cross, He shed His blood. And if you don't believe that, there's no hope for you. There's no way a sinner can pull himself up by his bootstraps. There's no way a sinner can satisfy the Holy God in himself. Only through another. Yes, that's humbling. Very humbling. But also something to be very thankful for when we realize the truth of it. I, a lost sinner on the road to hell, can be saved. Be taken off the road to hell. Be put only not in heavenly places with Christ by faith, but promised to be with Him through eternity. He said when He left this earth, I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, that where I am, you may be also. What is heaven? Filled with Christ. But it's also a prepared place for a prepared people. And God is giving us wonderful instruction here through this letter of Paul to the Colossians, equally wonderful for us. First of all, in salvation, justification, and then as well in this portion here, sanctification, being changed, being made to work out the salvation that God has already worked in us by faith. Now we work it out by love. Above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness.
For listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, check out their website, www.calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship. Praise the Lord.